Hello and welcome to our program, Money Matters, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Deb Parsons, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from various news sources here on OWL Radio. From NPR News, the U.S. economy posted stunning growth in the third quarter, but it may not last. The economy roared over the late summer and early fall as Americans went on a strong spending binge. Data on Thursday showed gross domestic product, GDP, grew at an annual pace of 4.9% in July, August, and September. That's more than twice as fast as the previous quarter. It was the highest quarter of growth rate since the last 3 months of 2021. The strong performance by the economy was particularly striking at a time when interest rates have climbed to their highest level in more than two decades. Americans helped to power the growth as they continued to open their wallets, buying cars, restaurant meals, and Taylor Swift concert tickets. An uptick in exports and increased government spending also helped power economic growth. But strong growth may not last. Forecasters warn the economy is unlikely to sustain this blistering pace in the final months of the year. Growth is expected to moderate as the impact of higher interest rates continue to be felt. Higher rates have already slowed the housing market and could put the brakes on other consumer purchases. The question is how much the economy will slow. Earlier this year, some forecasters had worried that higher borrowing costs would tip the economy into a recession. Though recession fears have waned since then, they are still not off the table, given the number of challenges facing the economy, including a turbulent global market. Also from NPR News, the U.S. economy is humming. So why are Americans so grumpy about it? Rising interest rates haven't slowed the economy. GDP numbers out Thursday show the economy grew more than twice as fast in July, August, and September as in the previous quarter. The U.S. economy is humming. So why are Americans so grumpy about it? New GDP figures out this morning show the economy grew more than twice as fast in July, August, and September as the previous quarter, but nearly half the people that Gallup surveyed this month rate the economy as poor. We're going to talk through the data and the doubters today with NPR's Scott Horsley. Scott, so let's start with that GDP reading that we got from the Commerce Department this morning. What does it tell us? Scott Horsley. It tells us the economy is doing remarkably well. GDP grew at an annual pace of 4.9% in the most recent quarter. That's the best 3 months of growth we've seen since the end of 2021. And it's all the more impressive coming at a time when interest rates are the highest they've been in more than two decades. You know, earlier this year, a lot of people thought those high borrowing costs would tip the economy into recession. Instead, we've seen just the opposite. It seems to be revving up. Mark Zandi, who is chief economist at Moody's Analytics, say a big reason is the American people are still spending. Mark Zandi. The consumer is kind of the firewall between a recession or an economy that keeps on growing, and that firewall is hanging tough. The interesting thing is that consumers aren't out there spending with abandon. That's not what they're doing. They're just doing their part, which is, you know, exactly what we need. Enough to keep the economy moving forward, but not too much to fan inflation. Horsley. Now, inflation is still elevated, but it's come up by more than half its peak last summer. Unemployment remains very low, and now people's wages are growing faster than prices on average. So that's helping to sustain spending as well. Martinez. All right, so people are spending. What are they spending all that money on? Horsley. Lots of things. Travel, restaurant meals, cars, all those Taylor Swift and Beyonce tickets. GDP also got a boost from government spending in this most recent quarter and exports. Ed Gresser, who's a formal assistant U.S. trade representative, says a lot of that export growth is tied to oil and natural gas. Ed Gresser. The U.S. is becoming a very, very big exporter of energy. One of the big factors there is we are replacing Russia as a significant provider of natural gas to Europe and to some Asian countries. I think this is going to be a big part of U.S. export for a long time now. Horsley. Gresser, who is now with the Progressive Policy Institute, notes that there's been a lot of investment here in the U.S. in terminals that allow the country to export more liquid natural gas. And just this month, we hit a milestone in the energy patch when domestic oil production reached an all-time high. Martinez. Okay, so positive indicators. People are spending money. Why aren't they happy about it? Horsley. Yeah, that Gallup measure of economic confidence this month was deep in the red. It's been negative almost every month since the pandemic began. And while it's not as bad as it was last summer when gasoline prices hit an all-time high, topping $5 a gallon, it's still pretty grim. Now, as usual, some of this is people viewing the economy through their partisan lenses. Republicans are gloomier about the economy than Democrats right now. But even Democrats are more likely than not to say the economy is moving in the wrong direction. Lydia Saad of Gallup thinks a lot of this is just a lingering hangover from high inflation. Lydia Saad, unlike GDP, that's very abstract. Everyone feels the effects of inflation. Even though it's come down a lot, there's still a very clear memory of gas prices being $2 to $2.50 for about 5 to 6 years before the pandemic, and people just aren't getting used to $3.50 gas. Horsley. Now, it's possible those gloomy attitudes will cause people to dial back their spending, which could mean slower economic growth in the months to come. And forecasters do expect growth to moderate in the final months of the year. So far, though, this economy has defied all the naysayers, and it's proven to be very resilient. Martinez. $3.50 for gas. I live in L.A., Scott. I would love $3.50 a gallon. That would be awesome. On NPR, UAW and Ford reach a tentative deal in a major breakthrough in the auto strike. The United Auto Workers Union and Ford have reached a tentative deal on a new contract on Wednesday, nearly 6 weeks after the union embarked on an unprecedented strike against all of the big three automakers. The agreement with Ford still needs to be reviewed by the UAW leadership at Ford, and then it would need to be ratified by a majority of union members at the automaker. But UAW President Sean Fain called it a historic agreement in a post on X, formerly known as Twitter. In a statement, Fain also said the union had won major concessions. "We won things nobody thought possible," said Fain in a statement. "Since the strike began, Ford put 50% more on the table than when we walked out. This agreement sets us on a new path to make things right at Ford, at the Big Three, and across the auto industry." According to the UAW, the deal includes wage increases of 25% over 4.5 years and the return of a cost of living adjustment. Included as well in the tentative deal is a 3-year progression for full-time employees to the top wage, improvement to retirement benefits, and the right to strike over plant closures, which would mark a first for the union. Pressure is now on for GM and Stellantis. The deal is likely to ramp up pressure on GM and Stellantis to also reach tentative deals after the UAW this week expanded its strike at the largest plants of each of the automakers, where many of their best-selling trucks and SUVs are built. The UAW justified the expansion by saying they were not making enough progress in contract talks with the two automakers. The deal with Ford is not a done deal, however. Workers at Ford could choose to send their negotiators back to the table to push for more. UAW-represented workers at Mack Trucks did that earlier this month after negotiators had reached a tentative deal. And in 2021, union workers at John Deere rejected 2 tentative agreements before finally approving a more lucrative contract. For now, roughly 16,600 employees at Ford's Kentucky truck plant, Chicago assembly plant, and Michigan assembly will return to work. In addition, more than 3,000 workers laid off by Ford in what the company calls a ripple effect of the strike are also expected to be back on the job. That leaves about 28,000 auto workers at General Motors and Stellantis, who the UAW says will remain on strike. We are working constructively with the UAW to reach a tentative agreement as soon as possible, GM said in a statement after the deal was announced. President Biden, who paid a visit to the striking auto workers in Michigan last month, applauded the deal. It's showing how collective bargaining works by providing workers a seat at the table and the opportunity to improve their lives while contributing fully to their employer's success, Biden said in a statement. On AP News, a surge of hiring in September defies predictions, pointing to U.S. job markets enduring resilience. An unforeseen burst of hiring last month has lifted hopes that the economy will prove durable once again, even as an array of threats lie ahead. Businesses across the U.S. economy ramped up their hiring in September, defying surging interest rates, financial market turmoil, the ongoing threat of a government shutdown, and an uncertain outlook to add the most jobs in any month since January. The hiring binge confounded expectations for a slowdown and added one more layer of complexity to the Federal Reserve's high-wire effort to defeat inflation without causing a recession. The 336,000 jobs that were added in September exceeded the 227,000 for August and raised the average gain for the past 3 months to a robust 266,000. The unemployment rate was unchanged at 3.8%, not far above a half-century low. Friday's government report raised hopes for a notoriously difficult soft landing by which the Federal Reserve would manage to curb high inflation with a series of rate hikes without derailing the economy. But the healthy pace of hiring also highlights the confounding nature of the U.S. economy as it navigates the uncharted post-pandemic era. A strong job market suggests that growth might be too healthy for inflation to keep declining, and that the Fed might have to further raise rates. Speaking after the September hiring data was released, President Joe Biden asserted that the robust job growth was a result of his policies, a message he has repeated in speeches ahead of next year's elections. Yet polls show that most adults still hold a negative view of the economy, with Biden's agenda having yet to make such an impact on public sentiment. The president attributed public doubts about the economy to the nature of news media coverage, which he says prioritizes the negative. "I think that the American people are smart as hell, and I know what their interests are," Biden says. "I think they know they're better off financially than they were before." Here are some questions and answers about Friday's job report. Why is hiring still so strong? The Fed has raised its benchmark short-term rate 11 times since last year to about 5.4%, the highest in 22 years, the fastest pace of rate hikes in four decades. The increases are intended to slow borrowing and spending by businesses and consumers, thereby cooling growth. When employers added just 105,000 jobs in June, economists had expected further modest gains to come. Instead, hiring has rebounded with vigor. There are several likely reasons why. Millions of people have started job hunting in the past year, pulled into the job market by strong demand for workers and higher pay. Others have likely been drawn in by financial stress they feel from higher prices. Immigration has also rebounded after COVID-era restrictions were lifted. As a result, more workers are available to fill millions of open positions. This trend has lessened the labor shortages that many employers complain about since the recovery from the 2020 pandemic and enabled some companies to finally catch up to their previous employment levels. In September, for example, restaurants and bars added 61,000 positions, fully restoring their pre-pandemic levels of payrolls. Likewise, hospitals, childcare centers, and government agencies are still adding workers as they seek to rebuild their staffs after having lost workers during COVID. "We've seen a very impressive rebound in the labor supply," said Sarah House, senior economist at Wells Fargo. After a downturn, there's a lot of consternation to what extent workers will come back. And from what we've seen is that workers do respond to a strong jobs market. Sarah Tilley, a senior vice president at the business software provider ServiceNow, is seeing evidence that more workers are available. "Responses to their job listings are 80% higher than they were a year and a half ago," she said, with some of that increase likely a result of widespread layoffs last year by tech companies. Another change from a year ago, she noted, is that even workers with tech skills are less able to job hop for large raises. People would jump off, get those real meaty increases, she said, and that's changed. People are less inclined to take the risk. Consumers spent freely over the summer on travel, hotels, movies, and concert tickets, and lifted the economy in the process. Because consumer spending drives about 70% of the U.S. economy, analysts expect growth to top a healthy 3% annual rate for the July through September quarter. With the economy growing steadily, businesses are likely more confident about adding positions. What does all of this mean for the Fed? It could make Fed officials more inclined to raise their key interest rate in November or December. In the past, Chair Jerome Powell has said that slowing inflation back to the Fed's 2% target will require pain in the labor market. So far, there's been little to no such pain. And just Thursday, Mary Daly, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, suggested that the Fed could hold off on another hike if we continue to see a cooling labor market and inflation heading back to our target. Friday's data doesn't suggest that much cooling is happening. At the same time, the Fed's main concern is that rapid hiring will stoke strong wage increases. Higher wages can fuel inflation if companies raise their prices to offset their higher labor costs. In September, wage growth slowed. It rose 4.2% from a year earlier. That is a solid gain and slightly faster than inflation. But it was the mildest year-over-year increase in more than 2 years. Such data underscores the tantalizing prospect that inflation could continue to ease. It was 3.7% in August, without requiring widespread layoffs or a recession, in what Austin Goolsbee, head of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, calls the golden path. Some other Fed officials think the economy will have to cool to truly stamp out rising prices. At the same time, long-term interest rates have spiked in the past 2 months, making loans more expensive across the economy and potentially serving as a brake on economic growth and inflation. Mortgage rates have jumped to 7.5%, the highest level in 23 years. It's a pretty solid report, and perhaps it makes the Fed a little more nervous just given the overall strength of the jobs market, House said. But the jump in interest rates is doing some of the Fed's work for it, and that makes another hike less compelling. Another consideration that economists are increasingly considering is that if the economy is still chugging along, maybe that shows it can withstand higher interest rates for the long term. If so, the Fed's benchmark rate might not be restricting growth as much as Fed officials think and might need to rise noticeably higher. Is the job market benefiting everyone? The U.S. economy is vast and diverse, and even in solid job reports, there are pockets of weakness. In September, while the overall unemployment rate was unchanged, it rose noticeably for African American workers. Higher unemployment for the Black Americans can sometimes serve as a warning signal of a weakening economy. That's because Black workers are often the first to be laid off. It's too soon to say if that is happening now, given that Black unemployment is still relatively low at 5.7%. Still, that rate is up from 5.3% in August, and from a record low for Black unemployment of 4.7% in April. The jobless rate for Hispanics fell last month from 4.9% to 4.6%. For Asian Americans, it fell from 3.1% to 2.8%. For whites, the unemployment rate was unchanged at 3.4%. Also from AP News, stock market today. Wall Street falls after profit warnings, strong economic data. Wall Street is falling in mixed trading Thursday after some big-name companies warn about an uncertain global economy hitting their profits. Reports also showed the U.S. economy continues to storm ahead, despite much higher interest rates that have already lashed the stock market. The S&P 500 was 0.9% lower in afternoon trading and on track for a ninth drop in the last 11 days. Another slide for big tech dragged down in the market, even though the majority of stocks within the S&P 500 were rising. That sent the Nasdaq Composite to a market-leading loss of 1.6% as of 2:02 p.m. Eastern Time, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 171 points, or 0.5%. The U.S. bond market has been at the center of sharp moves for financial markets around the world, and Treasury yields were swinging following a deluge of economic reports. The yield on the 10-year Treasury, which is the centerpiece of the bond market, fell to 4.86% from 4.96% late Wednesday. Earlier in the morning, it was again nearing its highest level since 2007. A preliminary estimate suggested that the U.S. economy's growth accelerated during the summer by more than economists expected. A separate report indicated the U.S. job market remains remarkably solid, with relatively few layoffs across the country. And the European Central Bank opted to refrain from hiking interest rates for the first time in more than a year. Stocks have been under pressure since the summer as Treasury yields have spurted higher in the bond market. Those yields have been catching up with the main interest rate controlled by the Federal Reserve, which is at its highest level since 2001, as the central bank tries to get high inflation under control. Higher bond yields make investors less willing to pay high prices for stocks and other investments. They also slow the economy bluntly, raising the risk of a recession in the future and increasing the pressure across the financial system. Thursday's strong economic reports show the U.S. economy is clearly not in a recession. But Wall Street is more concerned about what will happen rather than what's in the past, and the worry is that a solid economy could put continued upward pressure on inflation. That, in turn, could push the Fed to keep rates high for a long time to defeat high inflation. And that would mean eventual weakness for the economy and corporate profits. The Fed's job isn't done, and it does not appear that higher interest rates are doing the job for them, says Quincy Crosby, chief global strategist for LPL Financial. In the near term, traders overwhelmingly expect the Federal Reserve to hold rates steady at its next meeting, which ends Wednesday. That would mark a second straight meeting where the Fed did not hike its main interest rate, which it has pulled above 5.25% from nearly zero last year. Higher and hold, yes, says Lindsay Rosner, head of multi-sector fixed income investing at Goldman Sachs Asset Management. Higher and hiking? No. Even better than expected profits from some of Wall Street's most influential companies haven't been enough to arrest the market slide. Meta Platforms dropped 4%, even though the parent company of Facebook and Instagram reported fatter profit and revenue for the latest quarter than analysts expected. Investors may have been spooked by the company's warning that it's seen some initial softness in advertising due to the latest Israel-Hamas war. An analyst said the company gave a wider range than it has in the past for its forecast of upcoming revenue. Meta is one of the magnificent seven big tech stocks that have been responsible for a huge chunk of this year's gains for the S&P 500. Two of them offered mixed reports a day earlier, with Alphabet tumbling 9.5% and Microsoft rising 3.1%. The majority of companies have been toppling analyst profit expectations for the summer, and the hope is still for S&P 500 companies to report their first overall growth in a year. But several big-name companies were falling Thursday following disappointing results or forecasts for upcoming trends. UPS fell 4.7% after it cut its forecasts for some full-year results because of uncertainty about where the global economy is heading. Investors see UPS as a window into the global economy's strength because it ships so many products around the world. Align Technology, which makes Invisalign systems that straighten teeth, also said an uncertain global economy may weigh on its upcoming results. Its stock tumbled 25.2% after it reported weaker profit and revenue for the latest quarter. On the winning side of Wall Street was IBM, which rose 4.1% after reporting stronger profit and revenue for the latest quarter than analysts expected. In Washington, the election of a new speaker for the House of Representatives could offer some stability to Capitol Hill that has been looking dysfunctional lately. Political squabbling has raised fears about how much debt the U.S. government is racking up, and it's one of the reasons Treasury yields have been jumping recently. With a new speaker in place, Economists at Goldman Sachs say they still see a government shutdown of up to 2 to 3 weeks in November as the most likely case. They acknowledge it's a close call, and such a shutdown would shave about 0.5 percentage point of growth off the economy in the final 3 months of 2023 and the first quarter of 2024. In stock markets abroad, indexes were modestly lower in Europe after falling more sharply in Japan and South Korea. Stocks edged higher in Shanghai. From USA Today, the job market may be shifting again with more companies mulling fewer raises in 2024. Workers have received big raises during the last couple of years, but that may fade soon amid economic uncertainty, according to a survey released Monday. Nearly half, 49%, of 600 business leaders surveyed this month by ResumeBuilder.com said they won't give cost of living adjustments, COLA, to employees next year, and 26% said they either won't or may not give any kind of raises at all. Of those who are giving COLA, 48% will give a bump of 3% or less. Additionally, more than half anticipate layoffs in 2024. This could be bad news for workers as they continue to catch up from more than 2 years of scorching inflation that ravaged their paychecks. Even though wages rose sharply for many over the past 2 years, helped by a labor shortage, those increases were mostly gobbled up by inflation. Only recently, as inflation has cooled, have workers started to regain lost purchasing power, but that looks like it may change again. Nearly three-quarters of business leaders said the job market has shifted back to favor companies, ResumeBuilder.com said. Cost-of-living raises are incredibly important to the majority of the workforce who may already be underpaid and whose wages have not kept up with inflation, Stacy Howler, ResumeBuilder.com's chief career advisor, said. Although the inflation rate has slowed down to 3.6%, any increase that is less than 4% is not an increase to one's earning power and wages. Cost of living adjustment, or COLA, is an adjustment made to people's paychecks to keep pace with inflation. It's meant to help workers keep the same standard of living from year to year. A well-known example is Social Security. Each year, the government provides a COLA to recipients' benefits checks based on the rate of inflation. For 2024, they'll receive a bump of 3.2% to account for inflation. Reinstatement of COLA is also one of the demands of auto workers on strike, after being burned by inflation for the past couple of years. You have been listening to Money Matters on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Deb Parsons saying goodbye from Owl Radio.